Hello, and thanks for listening in. You are listening to From Embers, a regular show looking at anarchist ideas and practice across so-called Canada. We're based in Kingston, Ontario, and broadcast every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on CFRC 101.9 FM. We also podcast online at fromembers.libsyn.com. You're tuned in to the second half of our two-part series examining the Lock Street Affair of 2018 in Hamilton, Ontario. Back in March, during the weekend of the Steel City Anarchist Book Fair, a group of about 30 people marched through the Kirkendale neighborhood of Hamilton. Some in the group lit fireworks, attacked luxury cars, and smashed out the windows of gentrifying businesses, doing an estimated $100,000 of damage. In the days, weeks, and months that followed, there was a massive backlash against anarchists in Hamilton, from politicians, journalists, police, far-right groups, business owners, and their loyal citizens. A lot of that backlash was focused on the Tower, an anarchist social space in Hamilton that was physically attacked several times and eventually evicted, only to move into a bigger and better space elsewhere in the city. After several months, eight people were arrested and charged with a variety of offenses, including conspiracy, mischief, and a new law from the Harper government, unlawful assembly while masked. Last week, a plea deal was struck that will see two people spend some months in jail, one person on house arrest, and a mix of probation and state charges for the rest. For the most up-to-date information on repression in Hamilton, please visit hamiltonanarchistsupport.noblogs.org. For this interview, I sat down with an individual defendant who will be in jail at the time that these episodes are released. In part one, we discussed the context of gentrification and anti-capitalist struggle in Hamilton, the events on Lock Street, and some of the initial backlash. In part two, we'll continue to tell the story of the unfolding backlash. We discussed the strategies of repression used against Hamilton anarchists, navigating the court system, and the idea that resignation is worse than defeat. Yeah, in preparing for this interview, I was thinking through the repression piece and thinking, okay, is this backlash? Is this repression? And the word that really occurred to me was counterinsurgency, like, because it's so many angles, like, between hashtag Love Lock, which I think was initiated by Andrea Horvath.
Was it?
I'm not 100% sure.
She was definitely in on the ground floor.
She was very central to that social media campaign. Okay. She's the provincial leader of the so-called left-wing NDP, and lives in that neighborhood or in proximity to that neighborhood. And so the images of the kind of middle-class Hamilton showing out to write messages of love on all the broken windows and clean up the streets.
Andrea in particular is like a hilarious figure. Like, people have all these fond stories of like, oh, she used to come out to like this blockade as a teenager or something, and now she like gets up on TV and says like, no matter how vile the policy, there is no excuse for violence or something like that, to denounce somebody breaking the windows of a politician's office or something. And it's just,
Full
circle. You really like, or maybe this is where you're at all along. All you really cared about was managing other people's struggle and making things about yourself, and things that might exceed your control become threats to you, so you have to denounce them, you know? So I feel like in that moment, one of the funniest images from those days to me was like, yeah, some of these shops were trying to make a media stunt out of getting people to come by and write messages of support on their boarded up windows. And so Andrea, of course, like trots out to go take a selfie in front of these messages. And so just like, right next to her head is this tag that was probably left by a neo-Nazi about just like, anarchists have no place in civilization, just in like big black Sharpie. And it's just like her smiling face for the NDP, you know? just like a good moment
That's
of
perfect.
Just watching all these various social forces that are all extremely invested in like maintaining social peace and maintaining like existing forms of politics and representation, just kind of gathering together to stomp on a common enemy.
Yeah, and then other angles like the media playing up all kinds of sensationalized sort of narratives around this, whether it's the specter of the Quebec anarchists coming,
right.
Like, you know, they some right-wing sort of rag columnists were at the book fair and saying, look, there's this car has Quebec plates, which is the same thing they did at the G20, where anyone who spoke French was basically getting rounded up. And then city council
some of the, they passed a symbolic motion denouncing what happened with the most extreme rhetoric I've ever seen from a political body.
That the city of Hamilton will support the women and men who work hard and play by the rules in hopes of building a strong local economy, and that the city of Hamilton recognizes that taking an unwavering stand against violence ensures that our city continues to be the best place to raise a child and age successfully.
I'll be working with the police to designate the anarchist who endorsed what happened on Lock Street as a gang, and then should be treated under the Criminal Act as such. I think some of those individuals are a waste of skin. We have come a long way in attracting investment and businesses, and we embrace it. We embrace success. So when an activity like this gets so much profile, it's unfortunate because it's not sending the right message. And we need to be powerful and profound with our messaging that we support our businesses and we support their success.
There's no place in our society, or especially our city of Hamilton, Mr. Mayor, for faceless, gutless cowards that are just thugs and hooligans. Lousy punks that did what they did this past weekend. Lock Street is symbolic of the restoration that has happened in our city, a place to celebrate. We're on such a roll. The momentum is wonderful for this city, and the last thing we need is this kind of horrible experience.
The people that participated, absolute cowards. In fact, I mean, I use the term people lightly.
I think what we're hearing is that we have before us a symbolic motion, which amounts essentially to theater. We're in political theater now.
I'm gonna call this an act of terror. And you know what? They're not only a gang; they're a terrorist gang. If that's their modus operandi and that's what they want to do throughout our city, then they are terrorists, and we ought to treat them accordingly. And we can bring them to justice, and you know they can ply their anarchy in jail.
So like you said, like all these different elements of society that typically see themselves as on different sides of things, really showing what they have in common with each other.
Yeah,
which
absolutely.
Is illustrative, I think, for people who are paying attention.
Totally. You couldn't put it better. I think it's just something to remember that one of the ways that like repression functions is by like producing forms of isolation that then allow for exceptional violence, right? And so, I mean, I think like it was with the G20 too, right? Like I think I ended up going to jail in the G20 for like circulating and writing a text announcing a demo and like critiquing world leaders, you know? And I think a lot of people would probably be surprised by that. At the same time, they were able to produce these like forms of states of exception around those events that like make unusual applications of law possible, you know? And so like here too, like most of us are who are pleading guilty in this deal are like essentially pleading guilty to like being at a demonstration, and yet again pleading to like distributing a text announcing a demonstration, you know? And like I don't say that in order to like incite outrage, or because like I expect nothing from the courts and from the justice system and from the police. Like I just see them as naked violence. Like I don't believe in their discourse. I have no more qualms about pleading guilty to something ridiculous than I would than saying I didn't do something that I did. And I think it's good to kind of see things for what they are, and that the sorts of like social context that like so many people participated in, right, of just like producing this like figure of the anarchist who is just like against every possible good thing and is like probably some sort of terrorist and is like, you know, was a contribution towards eventually like creating a context in which like far-right gangs can come and attack those people, and in which like the police can come and like destroy those people's homes and like drag them away and like keep them in jail and like things like that, you know, for yeah, like what essentially amounts to like being near windows getting broken or breaking windows, you know. And it's just like interesting to think about just, I think it reveals the nature of the conflict. Like to me, it's interesting when some of the layers of just like bullshit and discourse get stripped away and we're actually down to this place that is just more like the state is like a body that carries out like naked force and dresses it up in various ways. It's not a place I like to stay because it usually means we lose, but I think it's just like educative.
Eventually the police got involved and started making arrests and mm-hmm. making big kind of to-dos out of the arrests that they made, because mm-hmm. I think they were somewhat embarrassed by not making any arrests the night of.
Yeah.
there was a lot of sort of neighborhood association type people and media journalists who were criticizing the police for not basically breaking everyone's head who was there. So what shifted and what kind of happened when the police started making arrests?
It was not clear that anything shifted. I think they had a pretty good sense of what they wanted to do from, like, pretty early on. And which, again, was, like... It's always kind of the way that just... It's the most dangerous space to be in for repression is this sort of, like, gray area that exists in which you're, like, doing things openly, but in which you're, like, being kind of uncompromising in your ideas and in your support for various kinds of action, right? And those of us who, like, are active with the Tower, that's, like, essentially what we're doing all the time. And also, just like all these different other moments of like attacks or like sabotage or like things like that that have happened in the city, typically just all get blamed also on the Tower, and we also stand up and like defend those things, you know. So I think like there's already kind of this narrative that had been produced by the police in part about like who they wanted to get. So it's possible this was just this like also moment of like collective vengeance, and it was more just a way of like figuring out how to go after the people they wanted to go after than it was a question of like actually figuring out which people to go after. So yeah, a couple weeks before I got arrested, I was the first one to get arrested, and the other people were arrested about 2 months later. But a couple weeks before I got arrested, I started seeing images of me carrying some sort of papers circulating on far right-wing blogs, which presumably had been leaked to those blogs by the police, in some attempt to like figure out where I was, which like isn't a secret. But again, we see this kind of like a coordination between like the kind of repressive forces and like the far right, you know, where just like they're being called upon essentially to do like intel and doxing. And then like once arrests happen, then the media joins in, and like the far right spends a lot of energy trying to like dox just activists in general. They don't tend to see a lot of difference between different stripes of people who they just view as the left. But the media jumps in and just is like just a dox machine, right? Like to me, any news agency that like engages in crime journalism is just participating in like class war on the wrong side, and is just a tool of oppression, you know. Like they do other things that are interesting, but I just can't separate that out, that element of them just like participating in this like kind of horror show of just like maintaining this fear and punching down on people who are already being targeted to like maintain this sort of like faith in the need for the police and for the courts. Topic for another day. But yeah, so I think for the police, it was really good to be able to like arrest somebody who's been like and accuse them of distributing a leaflet, who's already been arrested and charged and convicted of distributing a leaflet and being connected to riots, you know. It's like very convenient. And then they came back later and with the evidence of the undercover that got, once that got freed up, and then just like rounded up other people who the undercover could identify, who were just all the people who'd been nice to him as a stranger at the Tower over the years, plus one individual from Montreal and one individual from London who it's like not clear how they were identified.
And the house was raided?
Yeah, so I mean, it's just one of those things where there's no sense really being like, oh, they could have just like knocked. it's not like I was waiting behind my door with like some weapon or something like day and night for them to come, you know. It's like, I don't know. So
it seemed like a spectacle.
Yeah, totally, right? And it's like it's meant to like intimidate. It's meant to be these forms of collective punishment, right? So they just like smashed down our door and like fired in like kind of concussion grenades and like stormed it with like assault weapons out and like things like that, like threatened to kill our dog, like all these like classy cop moves, you know. And I think we were all just like pretty chill, just like, oh, okay, like y'all are here, that sucks, sorry about the door, I don't know. So at that point they only arrested me, but then they spent the entire day just like destroying our house, and just like stealing kind of whatever they wanted. Like some people are involved in like producing books, so they just like stole boxes of like partially finished books that were waiting to get the covers put on, just stealing like any electronics that they could get their hands on, even though essentially all of it was encrypted and they couldn't access it, and presumably we'll just never get those things back. But just like damaging stuff, throwing shit in the toilet, like walking on your stuff, like just being a bunch of pigs, basically. And I think just like when I think about this stuff, that the purpose is not necessarily to like make charges, but to just provide these forms of like reassurance to people that like the law is essentially like all powerful, and that like resistance is impossible, and that the idea that like possibly elsewhere in the world it's like acceptable to do a demonstration like in Ontario. Like, there's no reason. Like, we are at the peak of human history here, folks. Like, there's nothing to complain about, folks. and that just, therefore, anything that happens that like disrupts that peace is just this like aberration that we can just put back in its box and you don't have to worry about. Mm-hmm. So just that desire to like treat us as threats. Like at the G20, there was this whole rigmarole where like when this cop was like testifying against us, who'd been hanging around pretending to be people's friend for years, he needed to have like an armed guard next to him at all times, which like never happens in court. Like having a guy with a gun standing in court during a testimony is just like, but again, it's just part of them producing this narrative in which we're like so far outside of being regular people and not just like people from Hamilton who like live in those neighborhoods who like are just living through the same shit as like tens of thousands of other people, that we're like some sort of like separate thing that is like a danger to everyone.
Mm-hmm. So you were arrested, mm-hmm. and you didn't get bail at first.
That's right.
And there was organizing to do support for you, and also that it was pretty clear from the beginning that others could be arrested,
yep.
too. So this group, Hamilton Anarchist Support, was formed at that time, right?
Hamilton's big on things that like aren't actually groups. Like, I feel like the Hamilton Institute seems to be the same way. Like, I think it must just be a joke that like there's pretty clearly no institute and it's just like a random blog that people submit shit to. Mm-hmm. And I think like, yeah, that is kind of the same thing. There's just this like little network of people who are like friends and who like share politics and who have like built up tactical affinity over time, who in the same way they do around anything else came together around supporting people who are locked up, you know. Like, it wasn't like, I guess I just say that to be like that we don't, as far as I know, have like a lot of specialized prisoner support organizing that happens, like in the same way that we don't have people who are specialized pipeline protesters or specialized anti-gentrification protesters, like mm-hmm. with these things is kind of like just like a spectrum of their opposition to hierarchy and domination. But that's really nice. I mean, I can't really overstate how important like support is when you're locked up, you know. And it's like different if you've been sentenced and you're doing time and you kind of know what you're facing, but I know just like sitting around in a remand facility, maybe you're gonna get bail, maybe you're gonna just like be in the crappiest conditions of the prison system for up to like 2 years waiting for trial, with no books, no nothing, you just like chill, it's like stressful, right? But like getting letters, knowing there's people like taking care of your logistical problems, there's people dealing with lawyers, there's people trying to like sort this stuff out for you, just like allows you to just kind of like settle down, focus on the day-to-day, not be too stressed out, you know. So it's in a practical way for me that stuff was big. And then also like even bigger was just like seeing people's like bravery and courage, that just like even after this, just like people, you know, again, just like with the tower, like people came over to the trashed house and like hung out there while everything got fixed and like helped put it all back together and like sat down and like worked collectively to come up with like what do we think about this, and just like put out a statement that continued to own its politics, like continued to be critical of gentrification of the police in the exact same ways, and just be like, you know what, we can't stop you from trashing our homes, we can't stop you from stealing our friends, but like what we can do is refuse to submit, you know. Like, we don't, like, resignation is worse than defeat, submission is worse than capture. There, you absolutely can't break us, you know. And I think that's just been like true throughout this, you know, that just even as those people kind of got picked off and arrested in turn and like run through the media and doxxed and suffered their own like waves of far-right threats and like all of these things and have had to deal with the court process, like people just like stayed solid, stayed uncompromising, and like, yeah, stuff's been like super hard. Like, I don't want us to look like we're these super tough warriors who are like unaffected. Like, this has like really been crap. But at the same time, like, it just doesn't change anything about our underlying commitments, about like who we are as people, the kinds of relationships we want, how we see the world, how we understand the conflict we're engaged in. All that just keeps going, you know. And if it is like in a bit of a different form right now, and if like some of these questions of just like the day-to-day and like getting through it are just like more pressing in this moment, like that's not fundamentally different than having those moments where you get to like be wild and be powerful together.
A lot of the people arrested were part of a cohort that went through the G20 together too.
That's right.
And so it's not the first time that people have dealt with a heavy level of repression, at least within the communities that we move through. Mm-hmm. And do you think that had a big impact on people just kind of knowing, like, okay, what's important to do? What do I have to stick to?
For sure. People didn't panic. And there's just, like, I think just sometimes there is this, like, urge to panic and be like, oh my God, what's going on? Like, are they saying all these things about me? Maybe they're true. And to want to go and, like, bury yourself back in, like, the progressive movement or something and just go, like, hide behind, like, these sort of like good vaguely leftist citizens, and which, like, you know, I don't want to critique too much, but just I think without even needing to talk about it, we all made the decision But we're not going to be like, oh, like our right to protest or like, oh, police brutality or anything like that. We just decided to just be like, no, like we're engaged in conflict with like the dominant forces in the society. Like we're doing it for these reasons. And like, no, we're not going to like back down from it or hide from it. You know, like we're not going to try to not exist as anarchists just because you're trying to crush us as anarchists. You know, like I think just again, like there's no reason to hide in that, like abandoning your principles and stepping away from your ideas and ceding the precious terrain that we've carved out to like act autonomously is like worse than spending a chunk of time in jail.
What was your time in jail like?
I mean, it was like, this is like the third time I've been to jail, so it like gets less surprising and hard, although it's like still stinks a lot. Yeah, I was in like trans jail, I guess, which is just this like weird space that's been created because now we have all these like super cool human rights, in which you get to like choose the color of your uniform and like choose which cage you're kept in, you know? It doesn't work if you just say, oh, actually I choose to not be in a cage. My gender identity is freedom. It just like, you know, for some reason it doesn't
work. Over.
No. So yeah, it was like mostly in solitary confinement, which like is just like different, you know, like I feel like before being in like different general population ranges, it's like a little bit easier to pass the time, but you have to like deal with drama and things like that. But yeah, mm-hmm. I feel like, I don't know. I don't want to be like blasé or macho about it, but I think just like, yeah, the fact that at this point, like a bunch of us have like done bits of time also makes it less scary too. Like I think you just mm-hmm. can act a little bit more honestly because you aren't just trying to avoid getting locked up at all costs, you know?
There were also, beyond the support work, there was like solidarity gestures that came from, I counted, Guelph, Kingston, Peterborough, and from the J20 defendants in DC,
yeah.
Which was really interesting. They wrote a statement drawing some connections between the repression they were facing and what was going on in Hamilton. How did that feel to find out about that stuff?
It feels great, because I think that's like the biggest fear, at least that I had there, was of just like, like I was obviously like really scared for specific people, like my friends who I knew were like carrying a lot and who were also like being targeted and just getting like weird death threats every single day, and many of whom would like go on to get arrested, you know. But I think just like more broadly, like yeah, like we've chosen to dedicate our lives or like some portion of our lives to like trying to just like live free and live with integrity in this world and to like be in conflict with certain forces, you know, and just like the fear that by like, that if the state, like, you know, at, like, they're able to, like, crush us or, like, lock us away, that would be the end of those projects as well, like, the end of those desires. And it's just nice to see that it isn't, that, like, that kind of, like, spirit of, like, revolt is held by, like, many, many people, and that if we're, like, taken out of commission for a little while, like, other people take it up, you know? And just, like, specifically, like, a lot of stuff happened in Hamilton, too. Just, like, being, like, shackled and in, like, the back of some paddy wagon, getting driven out on the street, and just seeing, like, free... this person fired all prisons or something like that, just like tagged on the side of like looking out through the bars, is just like warms your heart when you're sitting in the basement in the court cells, you know. And just knowing it's like coming from other towns too, and just being like, this isn't, I don't know, sometimes you can get when you're dealing with kind of crisis, like it's easy to have tunnel vision and to just get really caught up in the kind of blow by blow, but I think it's like good to just remember to like zoom out and be like, no, this is like one aspect of like a tension that runs across this territory that gets called Canada and manifests in like a bajillion ways, and that like other people who are engaged in struggles that like might look and sound different, like see themselves in what's going on here, you know, and that is like a richness and a strength.
At some point, observing what was happening from afar, it seems that the narrative shifted somewhat around the, what you were saying, the city basically declaring or implicitly declaring that the Circle A anarchist symbol was a hate symbol, I think is what mm-hmm. the language they were using.
Yeah. So I think it started to happen while I was in jail and then like escalated like right afterwards. But yeah, the state was really kind of doubling down, or at least like the local government was really doubling down on being like, oh no, the anarchists are like terrorists. They're like this gang. Like we need to, you know, act and like threatening to use these kind of like special regimes of laws that are usually like reserved for people who get called terrorists or gangs. And one of the kind of just like funny things that happened in there is the city government kind of started trying to designate like the Circle A symbol to be like a hate crime, the same as a swastika would be. And one of the ways that this came up was that, so like the windows on the tower got smashed, and then on the outside we put up boards over them while we were getting them repaired, and on the outside we wrote, "We are not in the least afraid of ruins, for we carry a new world here in our hearts," with like a little Circle A. And obviously some good citizen decided to complain about this, and we got a visit from Bylaw under the city's like vandalism bylaws. I don't really understand how this happened, but like 3 months after something, 2 or 3 months after this happened, some articles about it started appearing in the media that were really funny, because I think it was where just the city gun got caught out and looked ridiculous. I don't know how they found out about these events, because it's just conversations I had with Bylaw. But they came and said, like, well, we're gonna, like, you need to remove this under like the vandalism bylaw. And I was like, it's not vandalism, I did it. And they said, well, like, this is designated as like a hate symbol by the police, therefore you like need to remove it, it's like under this vandalism law. And we kind of like went back and forth, and I like talked to a bunch of their supervisors, and basically the part that the newspapers got wrong is that we absolutely did not take it down, and actually like our conversations were left on it, like there will be a Circle A on the front of this space for the rest of time, like we're never taking this down, like, and you should like really get a good opinion from your lawyers before you like fight us on this, because don't just do this because somebody complained to you, like. And they agreed to back off because we were just going to get the windows fixed anyway. So it kind of became a non-issue. And then it kind of came back up, like I said, a couple months after those conversations took place, because these articles came out and they managed to get the mayor on record saying that anarchists are terrorists, this is a hate symbol, this is a hate group, all these things. And it had echoes back to this moment in 2009 when the police released their kind of annual report about hate crimes and included the police as the group that was the largest target of hate crimes in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. And at that time too, they included almost exclusively like anarchist graffiti that was against the police as being the biggest source of hate crimes in the city. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think like the use of hate crimes discourse or like trying to turn it back and being like, no, this isn't hate crimes are this like other thing, and like, they need to be protected and like the word needs to be taken seriously. Like, I'm not really into that, because I feel like when these like special legal regimes get created, like, remember, repression is about producing forms of isolation and producing forms of like these kinds of like radical others who can then be like treated in ways that would otherwise not be considered acceptable, right? So like the hate crimes regime, the terrorism regime, and all of that are just the state giving themselves additional tools that like are maybe great for as long as you just like trust who happens to be wielding them. But I think one of just like the huge fallacies of like liberal democracy and like those who support it is the belief that you'll always just have like wise rulers or something like that. And then not your, I mean, I think just what's happening in the States or in Ontario right now is like a good example that you like build these huge war machines that are the state and just like trust the person who's piloting them to be responsible. But if someone gets in there who just like hates a third of the population, like they're going to use that machine to go after them. So I think it's just the same thing where it's just, I'm not really, like, I don't care if they want to call it hate crimes or not. Like, I think it's like a little bit ridiculous. Like, it doesn't change the fact that it's just like a Circle A that like has a specific history and is tied to a specific political movement. It's like one of the most recognizable political symbols that exist, yeah. But I think does that set off like a lot of, it was seen as ridiculous. It made national news all across Canada, and the city of Hamilton got absolutely covered in Circle A's, like hundreds and hundreds of tags.
The only thing that could have happened.
The only possible reaction. That's just like, yeah, it's one of those things that I fucking just love about Hamilton. You know, like people got okay reflexes there. You know, it's just like, oh yeah, that's right, mayor. And some of the tags were like really good and like had a bunch of content, just like kind of breaking down in a few words like what anarchism is or isn't. Some of it was just scrawling Circle A's on bus shelters, but all of it was beautiful.
There was also a noise demo at the Barton Jail when you were there.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you were in jail when that happened, so yeah. I mean, I guess you can mostly talk about your experience of it. But I've also heard that that was an important moment for the community in Hamilton in terms of, yeah, like publicly showing out despite all of this backlash and all of this kind of social tabooism that was being brought against people and coming together in that way.
Yeah, I can imagine it was. I know it was like good for me too, again, just to like not feel forgotten and to just like, yeah, I know that when you do those kinds of demos, when there's like a lot of fear, that it does have this like effect of just like strength and of like lifting ourselves out of it. And again, of like breaking that isolation that not just the people who are locked up feel, but also just like all the people who are being isolated in order to be repressed. And I think that's just a thing, too, where just, like, the state's job actually kind of got harder after we were arrested, because, and partly because, like, we inhabit that, like, weird gray area where we're, like, you know, we're, like, seen as having proximity to, like, crimes. And so they just charge us with these weird, like, crimes of association or something like that, that are, like, hard to defend against, like, conspiracy and counseling. But one of the advantages of being in that space is that you're, like, known in certain ways, you know? And, like, so by arresting me, like, the police, like, made things personal, and it wasn't just this, like, anonymous horde of, like, anarchists who hate civilization or something. It was, like, because I'm not that. Like, I've been around for years. Like, lots of people know me in the city in lots of different contexts, you know? And, like, it, so I think just, like, having the space, what that did, again, kind of, like, merge the human with the political, and, like, people could kind of hold these ideas and be, like, yeah, we hate that our friend's in prison, we hate prisons. And then other people could come there and be, like, we like this person, it's weird that they're being held in jail when they're not guilty of anything. You know, and it just made space for, like, lots of different kinds of thinking about it. Yeah, I think that's just good. Because I think, like, even the people who weren't necessarily being targeted, I think a lot of people felt alone with the kinds of just, like, fear or sadness or, like, anger or critiques or, like, whatever they were having. Because I think they're just, like, the climate was, like, so polarized. Like, it's hard to describe the kind of, like, intensity of, like, the social reaction in Hamilton. That there just, like, wasn't a lot of space to do anything more nuanced than just, like, cry over broken windows. So... Mm-hmm.
There's also a lot of writing that was kind of came out of this period in terms of on North Shore counterinfo, mm-hmm. different reflections, different perspectives, I would say, on Lock Street.
Yeah.
And how do you think those differences were sort of? Because there's definitely anarchists in Hamilton who thought, this is a really bad idea. This never should have happened, right?
Oh, yeah.
And so how do you think those kinds of differences were negotiated through this period?
It was challenging because I think one of the hard dynamics is that when we're facing repression, the necessity is for, like, just, like, solidarity, right? And, yeah, it's, like, important for people to have spaces to, like, make critiques and, like, disagree, but when you're in a context where just, like, the state is using denunciation as, like, a tool in order to, like, inflict violence on people, that, and, like, they're being joined in that by, like, the far right and by the media and by the business associations, right? It's not just the state, that it becomes harder to make criticisms to your, like, friends and comrades. It becomes harder to receive them. It's even a question of whether that's, like, the right time or place, right? And I think then it's, like, a question is, like, when is the right time or place? Because, mm-hmm. like, I think having criticism and disagreement is, like, absolutely crucial, you know? And, like, I feel like I've just had a bunch of time while I'm in house arrest, and just one of the things I've been doing has been just, like, just making space to, like, talk to people who think the thing is stupid and just, like, talk it through with them, explain kind of, like, how I experienced it and what I think about it and stuff like that, and just, like, not necessarily in order to agree, but just in order so that people can, like, feel heard, right? Because I think there is, like, this desire to... And always has been, like, anarchism is, like, an extremely mixed space. Like, nobody ever, like, it contains many different poles, like, many different kinds of activity. Different individuals do, like, wildly different things, you know? Yeah, so I think just, like, one of the spaces where that played out a little bit in Hamilton is, like, there was also a lot of, like, tenants organizing that goes on there that have a lot of anarchists involved in it. A lot of, like, people who were charged have been involved with it at different times. And they were, like, launching a rent strike. That's spring and summer as well. Yeah, and so I think that just, like, represents two different strategies about how to think about the issue of gentrification, right? Like, this kind of, like, more, like, organized, like, community-building strategy and this more, like offensive kind of antisocial strategy. And, you know, and, like, obviously people who are more invested in one or the other will have, like, differences of opinion, but I think it's actually kind of cool that people are able to do it, like, respectfully. And in a context of supporting each other, like you said, Hamilton's a small place. Like, if we don't have each other's backs, then actually we don't have anything at all. So I think it's still, like, a work in progress. And I think, like, there's also an element to which people dressed up their fear as being critiques, you know? And, like, I think the number of people who would identify in any way or like, consider themselves sympathetic to, like, anarchy who actually have a problem with broken windows is probably super small. Like, I don't think really anybody, like, cares about the BMW, you know? But I think people did care about just the, like, the fear that they experienced. And, like, even when that fear was extremely unreasonable, like, a lot of the people who had like the biggest fear reactions are people who were definitely not getting their house raided, you know, and were like definitely not going to get like followed or like whatever thing. But at the same time, it's like hard to tell people that they're wrong. Like, this is stuff that does happen, right? And like happens all around us and like happened to me. And like, so I think just teasing those two things out and like making space to talk about fear is, I think, a necessary condition for being able to talk about courage. Like, there was like a bit of denouncing of cowards that happened, but like, I think just like limiting that and actually looking at this as like a collective issue that just like we can be brave together, and there's like things that we can do that make it easier for people to feel brave. And then I think once you've done that, it becomes easier to see what the critiques actually are and what the important conversations actually are, you know? And also I think sometimes just like the emphasis on solidarity is good because it lets a bit of time pass too. And so you can kind of see where things fall. And just people could look at, like, just using this as an example, like, look at the tenant organizing and be like, oh, actually, people didn't care that much that Lock Street happened. They're, like, 15 kilometers away in the East End doing really
like
different kind of activity.
Like, tenants, you mean?
Yeah. Like, the people who were involved in that organizing, it, like, wasn't an issue, you know? Or, like, people saw it and were just like, oh, that's cool. You know, it was... I heard of that slumlord before, you know? So, I don't know. I think, yeah, work in progress. I'm possibly being, like, more optimistic than I'd be at other moments, but... Mm-hmm.
So, what do you think, like, it seems clear to me that some of the repression or the repressive strategies that the state attempted to impose have failed, and some of them maybe have worked in terms of, like, the short-term isolation of anarchists socially or something in Hamilton. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, right, that, like, what the state does is violence, and, like, we can't necessarily like stop it. And like, I don't actually want to get into like a logic of like escalation with them. Like, I don't want to make myself so hard that they can't hurt me. Like, yeah, they can fucking hurt me. They can like ruin every beautiful thing in my life, you know? Like, they can't make me like abandon my commitments and ideas. Like, you can't actually beat an idea out of a group of people, you know? So like, sure, like they can do things that work. Whether those things that work actually like meet their ends or not is like a different question, you know? And I think that is like a kind of a social reality and is like based on solidarity as well, right? So I don't know if it's, I don't think it's true that people are more isolated now. I think actually like people were really conscious in combating that and just like held like a number of like kind of just like large meetings to just like get people together, just talk about their experience in kind of an open-ended way, started like emphasizing like many different kinds of projects, getting the new tower launched, like things like that. I think some of the stuff that is effective are some of the specific legal strategies that are used. And again, like, we can't necessarily stop the state's violence from working. But I think it's just, like, one of the reasons I want to talk about this stuff publicly is because I just want there to be more debate in the Canadian territory about how to deal with repression. Because I think when it happens, it's often, like, when there's moments like this, they're often kind of few and far between. And we don't necessarily have the kinds of, like, reflexes around how to respond that I think exist in like other places where like social movements exist.
No. Hey. Fear.
Control was embedded from first edits of verses in ancient letter. Power penned it, history's lenses, best weapons and control of the messaging. Controlled it with languages, strangled meaning, star-spangled bleeding. Word deceiving and code the thievery. Control this greed of the news you read and end. Controlled it with media, propaganda for the upper management. The board's ravenous, got more demands. The planet just can't withstand the damages. Control the intention, social tension invented to defend them. 1% elite agenda, complete surrender to the market venture. Controlled it with forces, cop, soldier, food clubs and horses. Warmongering foreign policy, fearing imperial ideology. Oh no, that's that control. The border, the wall, cops on patrol. That boat, the pole, the petrol and coal. The dollar, the gold, the fourth quarter growth. Oh no, that's that control. The prison, parole, shackles and ropes. That boat, the pole, robots and drones. Those kings and popes and CEOs. That's control. Controlled it with God. Fear a 2,000-year-old facade. Law the legal, the rich and the regal. The cost of evil's just too much to deal with. And
control the legality, infant mortality, court for malady, malady sicknesses, mass addiction, slumlord eviction, innocent victims. Controlled it with market, phase three office, watch over the profit. Coffin grave, slave labor wage, and debts arranged into monthly payments. And controlled it with army, factory farm, commerce conglomerate. Bombs, bullshit, altar, pulpit, malls and churches, and weapons researchers. Controlled it with bankers, big banquets in the bitumen tanker. Cancer tanks and human anguish, dead language and smallpox blankets. Oh no, that's that control, the border, the wall, cops on patrol, that boat, the pole, the petrol and coal, the dollar, the gold, the fourth quarter growth. Oh no, that's that control, the prison, parole, shackles and ropes, that boat, the pole, robots and drones, those kings and popes and CEOs, that's control.
So yeah, can I talk about the deal a little bit?
Yes.
Okay. So one of the things that's happened is so there's like 8 people on these charges, and we've reached a non-cooperating plea deal to end the charges. And so for those of you who live in places where that's not a thing, a plea deal means where we recognize a limited version of the facts as laid out by the prosecutor's office, which in Canada is called the Crown Attorney because they represent the Queen. So we accept a version of the facts as laid out by the Crown, and we agree that those facts make out certain crimes that they. So we're acknowledging the crime of counseling mischief, which for me is in reference to giving out a leaflet, and mischief over $5,000, which I guess I'm pleading guilty to being a party to for like being there when this happened. And yeah, like I said, I don't have any problem with taking responsibility for stuff that's bullshit, because like I don't care what the justice system thinks, I don't care what it says, I'm not invested in producing a narrative in that space. I'm interested in like building resiliency to endure its violence. So yeah, in this case there's, I guess there's gonna be 5 of us who are technically pleading guilty. A couple of them are doing so in such a way that we'll end up with no criminal record. Me and one other person are gonna do a few months of jail time, and another person is getting like some house arrest as a conviction. So, which like, it's hard to feel good about going to jail. It's hard to feel good about seeing your friends go to jail. At the same time, I do feel kind of positive about this, because it does just like represent an end to like certain kinds of uncertainty, right? And it represents us like kind of being able to like see some agency over like when and how we experience the violence of the state. Rather than, and it feels like, just to me, it feels better than like participating in like some charade of justice in which we like present evidence to some asshole in a robe about like whether we did or not did not do something that like, yeah, but that will just, and it'll just be based entirely on the evidence of an undercover cop. As well, in addition to kind of those political considerations, the Canadian justice system in Ontario specifically is like a machine to produce guilty pleas, and we really got like a taste of how that works and how it gets dealt with to a lot of people. So just a couple elements that I think influenced our decision that are worth mentioning is, yeah, just like being in jail before trial, and then also being on extremely restrictive bail conditions. Like even within all of Canada, Ontario kind of like stands out for using bail conditions that are like technically illegal. They get consistently kind of like denounced by higher courts, but that continue to be put in place by justices of the peace.
Like what?
The conditions.
Yeah.
Like house arrest, like forcing people to have sureties, which means just like someone in the community who agrees to supervise them. So yeah, just like putting people where they're not allowed to like leave their homes for like years at a time while in theory they're like waiting for trial for a crime they haven't been convicted of yet is like extremely common here.
And you get no credit. If you do get sentenced, your house arrest time is not credited towards your jail time.
You might get some, like, 'cause one of the things they'll do to help you into plea deals is to like offer you credit for your house arrest. But if you go to trial and are found guilty, you'll get nothing. So it's just an additional sentence that you did before your sentence. Yeah, so they do all these things to like bribe you into it. As well, like, I know in some places where social movements exist, you have, like, legal infrastructure to support sometimes having, like, lawyers available, like, cheaply or freely. Like, I know in the States and in Europe, that's often the case. Here, that doesn't exist, and you're just dependent on the, like, kind of state providing legal aid to people, which you have to be, like, dirt broke to qualify for, and even then it's entirely arbitrary based on some like caseworker who's your case. So out of the 8 of us, only 2 people got that, and I think I only got it because I was in jail, even though I probably got like $1,200 and no jobs. You know, it's like it's just a thing. So it's like if we were to go to trial, we would have had to raise $100,000, which is like not possible, right? So it's either we do it without lawyers, or we just like everybody takes out as many credit cards as they possibly can and we just do that for the rest of our lives, or like, you know, it's just like that's not a choice, right? So, and I don't want to pretend that it is. So like the confident, and like for me, like sitting around on house arrest incurring tens of thousands of dollars in debt for an extra 2 years while we wait to go to trial because the justice system is like outrageously slow just is like obviously a way worse option than spending 6 months in jail, you know, like it's just no brainer, you know. So just obviously you get it over with. And so I feel like I've heard a couple criticisms of this deal that I think are really valid. I think having criticisms of it is important. And I like have tried to kind of welcome them. One of the best ones that I've heard is that this just represents like a particular strategy by the state working again. And so one of the things that like Ontario does is because it's way harder to like catch people who are like actually doing a thing because they like come prepared to do a thing and come prepared to get away with it, is it's much easier to catch people again in that gray area who kind of stick their necks out like organizing or like representing actions or, yeah. And so one of the things that they do in doing that is because you can't necessarily charge people directly with like doing breaking stuff. So they use these like crimes of association. So just on us, they used like conspiracy charges and counseling charges and a new law that was laid possibly for the first time called Unlawful Assembly While Masked, which just attempts, like, it's like these laws are getting passed all over the states, like these various like Antifa laws. Here it wasn't that, it was from 2014, but just an attempt to just make it illegal to be masked in a demonstration, basically. So, and the act of masking can become illegal retroactively if the demo is later considered to have been illegal, in the same way that conspiracy works that way too, right? So if you do a bunch of organizing for a demo that later is seen to have been criminal, then the organizing you did gets considered illegal. Like, I don't think that's how those things are supposed to work, but in practice, that's how they're used against anarchists in Ontario. So yeah, so what they do is they just like, they pick out the people who they really think that they can get. And for me, and they're like lucky that I was like, had enough proximity to this that they can make out a case against me, because otherwise it would have been hard for them to get jail sentences against people and to like build this narrative of this like weird anarchist conspiracy that just like lurks in the shadows to do a riot every 10 years. So they have the people who they definitely want to get, and then they round up a bunch of their friends as well. And also in Ontario, it's essentially automatic that any time the police decide to charge you with a crime, they can just give you conditions to not talk to the people who you're charged with and threaten to just like throw you back in jail if you do. So like, you know, like people like break laws all the time, whatever, but like it is just like very disruptive because it just makes it much harder to do. You're like organizing, it makes it harder to like live in your home, things like that. So then the state turns to you and says like, well, we'll like let all your friends go if you like agree to go to jail, or like, you agree to like accept certain facts that are like convenient in the media for us, you know. And so then like to me it's just like, well, like all those factors together just kind of make it like, yeah, sure, like why not, you know, like this is clearly the best choice in this situation, even though overall it does mean that the strategy continues to work, right? Of just like the G20, they rounded up 20 people in order to essentially like bully 5 or 6 into pleading guilty so that they could say they got the ringleaders, you know? And it's just, it's one of those things where it's like, maybe in theory I would like to be able to like make that strategy harder for them to use. I guess just like in specific situations I've been in, I just like don't see how we could do it or something. Or like, I don't feel like I personally have like the wherewithal to like, to just like sit around in situations like this for like an extra 2 years in the hopes that somehow it like has an outcome that I can live with, you know? And I feel like there's also a critique to be made around like participation in the process, right? Like, I think there's a lot of like extremely principled anarchists who are like been looking at way more time than we are, you know, and who are just like super duper brave, who just engage with the justice system in an extremely uncompromising way and like refuse to participate, ranging everywhere from like not standing for judges to like disrupting the process to like but definitely refusing to like essentially say they did certain things, you know, which I would make a distinction is like, we're not giving information because all of the people who are participating in this deal are the only ones who will be named in it. We've all agreed on everything collectively. There is no informing that is taking place here. all we're doing is accepting things that the state has provided on the condition that it doesn't implicate anyone but those who are agreeing to be implicated in it and who are already charged.
Did you have to fight to get the unlawful assembly while masked charges dropped?
No, the I think they'd been slowly de-emphasizing those. I think the police are really excited to use those charges because it gives them like a lot of power, because like they had this whole narrative of like, we're going to arrest every single individual who was in this protest, because in our opinion, every single one of them was like breaking this weird law that the conservative
government passed. Yeah, when they had their press conference about making four or five additional arrests, they said.
There was approximately 30 people on the street, on Lock Street, so we've identified seven so far, so we're hoping for 23 more.
They made it clear that intended to charge every person who was present that night.
Which, like,
they could.
For the police is a dream, right? To just be able to like round up groups of people and threaten them with a decade in prison, which is like what the Conservative Party wanted when they made that law. For prosecutors' offices, it's a bit of a nightmare, because all of a sudden you have a bunch of people who are only being charged on the basis of like an extremely contestable law that has never been tested in court. So I think for them, just like, I think they did a lot of like wiggling around and changing what the charges were to try to de-emphasize the mask law one. And I think that's why they settled on this like party to mischief thing. You know, so instead of saying we were all masked in this unlawful assembly, which is like was by far the most serious charge, like way more serious than like any of the smashing that took place. But instead saying that just like, oh, it's enough that you are like there, and because we understand this demonstration as being a deliberate attack and not it's not a demonstration, it was a deliberate attack rather than a demonstration that contains lots of different kinds of intentions, that all of you are parties to that attack, you all participated in it by just your presence. I guess, yeah, the critique of participation is an interesting one, and it's like, yeah, we're definitely participating, we're not collaborating. I don't know if like agreeing to go to a hearing in which you plead guilty to avoid a trial is more of a participation than agreeing to like show up at trial, you know, instead of like going on the run or like whatever thing people might do instead, you know. As long as we kind of hold on to certain like basic principles of just like maintaining our antagonism to the justice system, not attempting to hide ourselves as something that we aren't, refusing to implicate or like cooperate with the state. I would also add in like not mounting, like, to me, I don't consider it appropriate to mount political defenses in court either. I think if you go to court, you just like argue narrowly based on the facts, because to me, like, anarchism has no place in the courts. There's no words to describe it that can be heard there. It's a thing that like plays out in our freedom and in our activities and in our projects. It's not a thing that you like ask to be recognized by like a guy who makes $500,000 a year, who wears a robe to work and sits on a raised pedestal.
Sends people to jail.
Yeah. Just like loves prison but has no idea what it is. I feel like in our case too, that was like a bit challenging because we did have like the majority of people who were just charged with vague crimes of association, and then one individual who the state has been arguing is like responsible for a lot of the like physical damage. And I think it just is a clear example of why sometimes those political defenses are like inappropriate, because like even if that person wasn't on this case, to me it's unacceptable to situate myself as like this good person who didn't even do anything. Whereas it's like others who like did this action, and like, no, I think those actions were like courageous, I think they were like appropriate, I think they were like made me feel good, they were just fine, I didn't do them, but like I don't want to take even the smallest step away from the side of people who are accused of doing so. And yeah, and I think sometimes just like, again, just like that question of just like our critiques and fear, you know. And I just, to me, it feels worse to do things like that and to like mount these kinds of like political defenses that hide ourselves behind the language of rights, behind forms of like legality that like that allow for that separation of like the most combative parts of our circles. To me, that's like worse than conviction. So
this also just gets me thinking about the G20 stuff and how when the state attempts to break a community, like in the case of Hamilton, it seemed clear that they really wanted to just like end the tower.
Yeah.
And they really wanted to make sure another anarchist book fair never happens.
And they really, finding a space will be a challenge.
Demoralize and scatter people, right? And obviously, like, it's a bad situation, and probably, like, you know, a lot of destructive and terrible things have come from that. But the people who stick together and stay solid through that are, like, their social bonds are like renewed in a certain way, in the same way that I think a lot of people, so that like the G20 experience, a lot of people were really messed up by that and had really terrible experience with that.
Yeah.
Some people who went through that and stayed with each other through that, though, are... I feel like there's like a like this forever connection between the people who went through that together. Do you think that this is like one of those times?
I'd like to hope so. I think just like because the other side of that happening in the G20 is what you said. Like a lot of people fell away. Like I feel like I lost 4/5 of everyone I knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like the people who didn't disappear stayed solid and just like I have strong relationships with now. But the people disappearing was very painful. It's like. And that happened in a lot of different ways. Like, it looked like people just, like, abandoning things and just disappearing. It looked like conflicts boiling over because of the strain and, like, people treating each other in, like, ways that weren't acceptable and, like, that resulting in, like, the end of friendships, too. And, yeah, I think just, like, what it means to deal with these situations is, like, a lot of different stuff. And it's not always, like, predictable how your various bonds are going to hold. One thing that, like, stands up to me, if we want to get to that kind of good outcome you're describing, which I think we will... Just like one thing that I think just to think about when we think about repression is that the fault lines that we allow to exist in our lives will always break at the worst possible time. You know, like all the unresolved conflicts that are sitting around, like all the like bad kind of social dynamics, all the crappy power hierarchies that can emerge in our worlds, all of that stuff will become the biggest problem it's ever been when you have repression and strain. You know, so I think it's like an argument as well in favor of being a bit proactive. And trying to, like, take care of things, like, as they come up and, like, not let your scene get, like, super grunky and toxic because, like, all that stuff is going to make it, like, way harder to keep people in your life when things get really hard and you have less capacity.
Mm-hmm. One half-baked idea I've been thinking about is this question of, like, unpopular anarchist actions, generally, and how... Like, I've been thinking about this in the context of Kingston and the John A. stuff in Kingston, which was, like, initially, like, completely condemned, widely condemned by all sectors of society. So some vandalism of the statue of Sir John A. Macdonald in Kingston, who's the first Prime Minister of Canada and a genocidal maniac architect of the residential schools.
Big racist in his own time.
Racist even for his time. And... yeah, when that stuff first happened, it was like people who were opposed to colonialism, which included anarchists and I Don't Know More and like just anti-colonial movements generally in the town, were like just felt like embattled. Like this is like the most unpopular thing that has ever happened. It is unthinkable. You know, no explanation is possible.
Yeah.
And now that was 7 years ago. The narrative around that has completely shifted. Not just because of vandalism. Like, obviously, a broader societal shift is happening as well.
Right.
But it makes me think about how things that seem completely unthinkable and unpopular in society at large change over time.
Yeah.
And how events and their impacts, like, are thought of and narrated really differently after that initial kind of, like, script of outrage that everybody is kind of, like... forced to perform to each other for a few months, like, goes away. So what do you think that, like, what do you think this Lock Street affair will will look like? What place will it hold in 10 years?
It's hard. It's probably too soon to tell. I think we're definitely still in the thick of it. I think people at a bit more distance might be able to see that better than we can. I don't think the kind of shift that's been happening around Canada recognizing its colonial history, even in, like, the limited way that that's happened, is likely to happen around the idea that rich people can do what they want.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I think as much as it's, like, extremely obvious that people driving brand new Audis to go evict people who have nothing is, like, odious, that at the same time that is, like, this thing that, like, a huge portion of society is, like, extremely still willing to defend and, like, disguise behind other forces and, like, yeah, just even trying to make it look beautiful as being this, like, revitalization, you know? Look at that blight getting forced onto the bus to Brantford. It's just, I don't feel optimistic about that shift. What I do feel optimistic about is the forms of, like, conflict that that represents and that is, like, a very visible moment of. Just, like, staying in people's collective memory is, like, a thing that's possible, you know? And I think sometimes, like, opening up the imaginary of, like, what forms of resistance we can deal with make it easier to recognize and call things like they are and be like, no, this like renewal shit, it's just an asshole in an Audi kicking my neighbor out of their home. Like, that's all it is. I don't care about your like luxury pizza shops. Like, I don't care how many like nice pieces of handmade jewelry I can buy from pop-up shops. Like, it doesn't matter. What is happening is like them getting rich off our backs, you know? And I think just sometimes when you like, sometimes it takes taking things too far in order to get anywhere close to where you want to go, you know? And yeah, I feel optimistic that this will just like stay as kind of like a dramatic demonstration of like rage that like, and that hopefully even in the same way that like it took taking some hits in order to like get to a context where we can have street protests. Yeah, I guess just coming back onto that idea that resignation is worse than defeat. And I think it's easy to sit around and call things like, oh, like this is unstrategic, or like this is the wrong time, or it's the wrong place, or like you could have done it better, or like things like that. I'm like, to me the important thing is trying, you know? And I think as much as I can look at this and be like, mostly this is just like a string of errors for me personally, you know, and I'm just like misreading situations, being complacent, stuff like that, and just like not recognizing the value, the power of the unexpected, like at the same time, like I have no regret about this, you know, like it, we just have to try stuff, open up space, allow things to happen. I think sometimes there's this desire, because there's this feeling of scarcity within kind of activist-y anarchy spaces in Canada, that we need to just like be very controlling about things, you know, and really limit what kinds of solidarity we're willing to expect in like the rare moments where there's struggle, or like what, or to like try to really own issues, because otherwise somebody might do a thing that's off message, and just be very like possessive. And I think just steps towards like building an actual like kind of like a cultural context in which like resistance is a thing that happens and isn't the domain of like some like weird specialists of protest, is just going to require things being messy and trying stuff out and like looking moments that work in the face just as honestly as looking at things that didn't, you know? And I think that's going to like involve things being like scary and uncertain and stuff like that too. But I think throughout that, we, and regardless of when things work or don't, we can build these practices of solidarity that can kind of just like nourish us and like hold us through it and like extend struggles when they get locked down in one place.
And so probably when people hear this interview, you'll be in jail?
Almost certainly, yeah.
Probably?
Yeah. In order to get ready for jail, there's not tons to do, like really, like just trying to like line myself up, because there's no books in jail. I think that's the thing people don't realize. But so just getting a bunch of stuff printed up that people can like mail to me so that I have things to read is just good, because I think just being in a little cage by yourself for like 6 months without anything to read would be a bit long. It'd be fine. I'd do a lot of like crunches or something. but yeah, I think just like doing things like this and like talking through ideas, and because I think sometimes when you're caught up in like dealing with hard stuff, the context kind of drains away and you're just left with some of these just like hard feelings that are understandable around just like sadness or loneliness or like hurt or like that kind of thing. And I think just like giving things back their meaning and situating them as in like within struggles and like trajectories of revolt that are like shared across many people and places and times that are like much longer than my own experience, and which in like the idea of like 6 months is trivial. And yeah, I think giving things back their like proper dimension. And to me, that's like a thing that I can't just do by myself, but that I also have responsibility in. But just, yeah, and I think practices of solidarity and support also do that, and just remind people that they aren't just facing up to this violence as like an isolated individual, that they're just like part of kind of like a huge thrust or a representation of a shared desire for like radically different ways of like living in the world. And although they can like cage you for a while, it's only like a question of time until you're back out there again.
This concludes our special two-part episode of From Embers. From Embers is a regular show looking at anarchist ideas and practice across so-called Canada. We're based in Kingston, Ontario, and broadcast every Wednesday night at 8 o'clock on CFRC 101.9 FM. We also podcast online at fromembers.libsyn.com, and we'll be posting lots of show notes there, including links to various anarchist reflections on gentrification in Hamilton generally and the Lock Street affair specifically. I want to thank everyone who gave me feedback for this episode, and especially the Hamilton anarchists who took a risk in allowing this story to be shared with all of you. For the most up-to-date information on repression in Hamilton, visit hamiltonanarchistsupport.noblogs.org. Stay solid out there.
Going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no running, there is no hiding. There's only fighting or dying. It's going down, and you're invited for what they selling. We ain't buying. There is no
It's Going Down is a digital community center from anarchist, anti-fascist, autonomous, anti-capitalist, and anti-colonial movements. Our mission is to provide an autonomous and resilient platform to publicize and promote revolutionary theory and action.
Go to itsgoingdown.org for daily updates. Check out our online store for ways to donate and rate and follow us on iTunes if you like this podcast.